The Lost Girls of Autism, How Science Failed Autistic Women, and the New Research That's Changing the Story. Written by Gina Rippon and read by Catherine Bailey, with the preface narrated by the author. Many of the moments when my autism caused problems, or at least marked me out as different, were those moments when I had come up against some unspoken law about how a girl or woman should be, and failed to meet it. Joanne Lindberg, Letters to My Weird Sisters, On Autism and Feminism.
To Grunya Efimovna Sukareva and her girls, PL, IW, WP, LK, and NW. To Virginia, Barbara, and Elaine. To Elfrida and Margareta. And to all of autism's other lost people, named and unnamed, found or still lost, in the hope that you will never be forgotten again. Preface. Why me and why this book? I should start with a confession. I have been part of the problem I'm hoping this book will solve. Over many years, both as a researcher and teacher, as well as something of a social justice warrior, I have eagerly absorbed publications about how the world has shortchanged women, not just way back in history, but here, now, in the 21st century. These are powerful books about medicine's gender problem, for example, or about the damage caused by data bias in a world designed for men. I have even written one myself, appealing to anyone who would listen not to be misled by damaging myths about sex differences in the brain. My day job involved the use of state-of-the-art brain imaging techniques to investigate what is officially termed autism spectrum disorder, ASD. The research group I worked with was engaged in meticulous explorations of autistic brains to see if there were ways of profiling the activity in such brains to explain why their owners experience the world so differently. When talking about this outside my lab, many people would say something along the lines of, "Autism, that's a boy thing, right?" And I would trot out the party line that autism was, indeed, much more common in boys, perhaps 4 or 5 times as much. And that although there were autistic girls, they were pretty rare. I was conscious of the fact that very few of the autistic individuals we were testing were female, which confirmed this impression. My wake-up call came when I and a group of feminist neuroscientists I had also been working with were taken to task by various high-end media outlets for putting women's lives at risk. We had written several critical commentaries about research into sex differences in the brain. We had pointed out that all too often the researchers had gone beyond what they had actually found, over-enthusiastically describing tiny differences in group average data as profound or fundamental, or failing to point out the huge number of comparisons that showed no differences at all. Our intended message had been that this research was so important that we must be careful to do it well and, as importantly, be cautious about how we wrote about it. This apparently was not what was heard. We were accused of advocating a ban on sex difference research. Sex difference deniers and feminazis were some of the more publishable epithets hurled our way. Why was this putting women's lives at risk? Because, it was fervently pointed out, there were many brain-based physical and mental conditions where sex differences were clear. So it was vital that all research into such conditions assume that biological sex was exerting some kind of powerful effect on who did or didn't succumb. And research programmes must be designed accordingly. Top of the list for